Well, good morning.
Good morning,
all you brave souls this morning. For those of you that didn't know that we didn't have power, I'm sorry about that. I didn't find out about it until 8 o'clock this morning, and I sent out messages on Facebook. But unfortunately, I can only send emails to the congregation from my office. And when there's no power in my office, I can't send emails out from there. So if you didn't know we didn't have power, sorry about that. We are blessed this morning because some other congregations could not have service this morning due to their situation, but the Lord has given us just enough light to be able to worship together, and so we are thankful for that. I don't know how many of you have seen this up here on stage this morning. I found this past week. It says, "Choose joy," and then it says James chapter 1 verse 2. So this is one of those days where you wake up in the morning and you have to count it all joy that the church doesn't have electricity. It's very applicable what we've been going through in the book of James. As James says, count it all joy when you encounter various types of trials. And, you know, that doesn't just mean the trials that he specifically mentions in his book. It means anything that we could go through. Amen? So, count it all joy. We have the choice how we react to the situations that we are placed in. We may not have control over the situations, right? But we do have control over how we react to them. This morning, I want to bring up a couple of prayer requests. And like I mentioned earlier, I'm not going to send the children back to Children's Church this morning. I'm going to need some help with some folks looking up verses since I don't have PowerPoint this morning. But I want to bring up a couple of prayer requests. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, that Glenn and Rika left to take Marilyn Steele directly to the hospital this morning. They were all three here, and then they all three left to go to the emergency room. So we want to keep Marilyn in our prayers this morning. And of course, as Jeff mentioned, Jim Vernon is putting together a team to go down to help with Hurricane Florence. And I'm sure you've seen the devastation caused by Hurricane Michael as well down in the Florida Panhandle area. So I want to take just a moment and pray for those couple of things. But I also, this morning, want to take a moment and does anybody else have any specific prayer requests that you want to lift up this morning? Jeff, could you grab me a pen? Oh, there is? Okay. I got one. Thank you. Does anybody have any specific prayer requests this morning? Ray?
For my parents, my mom and dad, they're going through struggles with my dad with the stage 4 kidney. And my mom, too, she's developed Alzheimer's, and so she can't remember real well. But I had a problem at my home that happened this week. I just had a new water heater installed 2 weeks ago, and my hot water pipe somewhere in my concrete slab is busted. And I have no idea how they're going to fix it. So I just am pretty uptight about that.
Sure.
Joy, Ray.
Well, yeah, we all know that it's much easier said than done. Yeah, Joe.
For Donna, please.
For Donna? Okay. Physical, or you don't have to...
She's just having a hard time.
Sure. Sure. Does anybody else have anything that needs to be... Okay, we'll go Bob and then Lori.
A lot of times people don't bring this up in their life, but I said I put it. Going through that depression and anxiety, and this is the third bout of medication that we're trying. I don't know if, A, God is saying, okay, Bob, we're going to take you through this and don't need it anymore, which, praise the Lord, if it happens. Or, B, he's saying, be still and know that I'm God.
Sure.
So I need prayer to know how to take each day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. And one thing, if as we're giving out these prayer requests, if you could just make sure that you speak up, because I'm sure people on one side or the other aren't going to be able to hear. So, Lori.
Mine is a mix of praise and prayer. A few months ago, I shared about our daughter Sherry in Georgia that she was struggling with her addiction to heroin. She found out she was pregnant a few months ago and has since gotten clean and has remained clean, and she's due to deliver the baby on November 2nd through a scheduled C-section. So just pray for a healthy baby, because she was exposed, it's a little girl, she was exposed to heroin for a while at the beginning of the pregnancy.
Okay.
She's over 8 pounds already, so no problem with growth.
Okay.
So just that there are no other issues. But also for Sherry, that now that she's no longer pregnant, that she'll still be able to...
Stay clean. Yeah. Did you say November 2nd?
November 2nd,
okay.
Yes.
All right. And I heard one over here. Yeah, Martha.
Emily is having a C-section on the 29th.
The 29th of November. Okay.
Well,
okay. Ooh, okay.
October
29th. October 29th. Okay. Joshy.
There's a possible for at least three of my friends back in my hometown. Those are my church leaders. Welcome over here for Urbana Conference.
Wow. Okay.
December 27th through 31st. But they need to go get their visa.
Okay.
One already have it, so three is going to apply. So if you could put them in prayer.
Okay.
You may see them on in December.
Wow. Okay. All right, sorry. I don't write as fast as you guys speak. Margaret.
At Hope Ministries, where I work, we have switched software, and which has produced a whole lot of stress, given me a lot of opportunity to apply, James.
Yeah, sure.
And so I feel like most of the time it's way above my pay grade.
Okay.
I'm just not even getting it. But so just pray for peace. And for clarity of mind.
Okay. Yes, Patty.
I haven't spoken because the person has asked me not to tell anybody.
Okay.
But a friend of mine is going in for surgery for cancer.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Bill.
Janet Elms' mother fell yesterday and broke her ankle.
Oh, okay.
She's having surgery on it today.
All right. And I may not specifically pray for every single one of these this morning, but what I'll do is, Lord willing, if the power comes back on, I'll send these out in a prayer request email so that all of us can be praying about these things.
One more.
Okay.
I pray that the Holy Spirit would lead not only me, but each of us to be prepared for days like today, because these are the end times, and anything could happen. God could allow a solar flare to come down and put our power out. He could allow that. But we need to be prepared to be a help instead of needing help when this happens. We need to have things that will get us through the situation, whether it's power outage or food shortage or whatever, water shortage, so that we can be a blessing instead of needing a blessing.
Yep. No matter what situation we're in, He's in control, but we need to be prepared.
Yeah.
Amen. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for all of these prayer requests that we are lifting up to you, Lord. Some of them have some pretty common themes, Lord. For example, there are several that are going through depression and anxiety, Lord. And your word helps with those things. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, make our requests known to you, Lord, and you promise that if we do that, the peace of God that passes all understanding will come upon us, Father. But as we also mentioned, those things are sometimes easier said than done, Lord. And so we pray that you would help us to trust you, to trust that you have everything under control, that nothing surprises you, and that you have everything worked into your plan. Lord, I thank you for the several prayer requests that had to do with pregnancies, Lord. And I want to add one pregnancy to that as well, as we want to pray for the Berberics. But I pray for Emily as she is approaching this C-section on the 29th, Lord. I pray that you would keep both her and the baby safe. I pray that you would that you would comfort her in spite of the fact that Danny's not down there with her right now, Lord. But I pray that your peace would pass over all of them. Keep them safe and healthy, Lord. And we pray that for Sherry and her baby as well, Father. We thank you that Sherry has been clean for quite a while now, but we pray for that baby as there may be lasting effects of when she was not, Lord. So we pray for a healthy baby and a healthy mom in that situation as well, Father. There are several prayer requests here for people that are hurting in pain and having some sort of surgery, like the cancer surgery that's coming up or the surgery on the broken ankle, Father. And so we pray for those, Lord. Just give their doctors wisdom. Have your hand upon that situation, Lord, and just heal, that you might receive the honor and glory, Lord. We pray for Margaret and Hope Ministries, the great work that they do there, Lord, and this tough time of transition that they're in right now. Just give them your wisdom. Give them that peace that passes all understanding, Father, and just show that you are right there alongside them every step of the way, Father. And for all of the unspoken prayer requests this morning, everything that was not raised up to you, or not raised up in our voices, we lift those things up to you anyway, Lord. You know the ins and outs of every situation way better than we could, Father. And so we trust you, not only with our eternity, but day by day, step by step through this life. Even though life is tough, we trust you that you have a plan and you're fulfilling it, Lord. Help us to play our part in that the best that we can, that you might receive the honor and glory that you deserve in our lives. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray this. Amen. Okay. This morning, we're only covering one verse out of the book of James. Only one verse. We're covering James chapter 1, verse 18. However, I mentioned earlier that I need some of our folks, and this can be students, or it can be adults. It doesn't matter. But I need some people to look up some verses. So, can I get someone to look up John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13? Okay, Jeremiah, go. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Can I get someone to look up Romans chapter 8, verse 29? Larry.
Romans 8:29.
Can I also get someone to look up Romans chapter 9, verses 15 and 16? Jenna. And Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Mike. Oh. Andrea, I'll have more in just a minute. Mike, go ahead. Okay, so we're in James chapter 1. And we remember who James is writing to, right? He's writing to Jewish believers who have been dispersed in the persecution by the Apostle Paul. And the first thing that he says to these people who have abandoned their homes, they've abandoned their distant family and their entire lifestyle, their work, their possessions, they've given up everything and fled this persecution that's going up coming upon them. And the first thing that he says to them is, count it all joy when you encounter various kinds of trials. Count it all joy. No matter what you're going through, count it joy. And as we've said several times this morning, it is much easier said than done. But then he gives examples of specific kinds of trials that a person might go through But then we get to this verse, verse 18. And it's one little verse, but it's so packed with theological implications. And you know what he does here? He pauses, and instead of giving them another trial that they might go through, he gives them some reassurance. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the reassurance that James gives his readers in James chapter 1, verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18 says this, "Of his own will," who's the his? God. It's God's. "Of God's own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation." Okay, let me read that again. "Of God's own will, he brought us forth," believers, "by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And so there's five different things in here that I want to talk about this morning. The first one is the idea of his own will, of God's own will. So could I get my reader from John chapter 1 to read verses 12 and 13? Can you read it real loud? Amen. Amen. Hey, Jeremiah, how old are you, buddy?
Six.
You're six? Did you find that verse all by yourself?
Yeah.
You did? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So the first point that I want to mention here is God wills people to become his children. It is by God's will that people who believe in his Son, who receive him, become children of God. Okay? It's not because we want to become children of God or anything like that. It is first and foremost his will that we become children of God. And we do so by believing. All right. Larry, did you have Romans chapter 8?
Yeah. Romans 8:29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers."
Amen. Amen. So, point B on your outline there is he foreknew and predestined you. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he foreknew you and he predestined you to be that. Okay? Point C, Romans 9, 15 and 16. I think that was you, Jenna. Is it too dark over there? Thank you. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. So on your outline there, it's based on His mercy and not your will or not your desire. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5.
But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
Amen. It is by grace that you have been saved. And we know those verses just a couple later, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, right? So point D there is, it's based on His grace and not our works. Okay, it's based on His grace and not our works. Point number two on your outline says, He brought us forth. That's the next part of James chapter 1, verse 18. And so I need somebody that would read John chapter 3, verse 3. Okay, Andrea. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Anybody? Lori? And 1 Peter, Lori, since you're already going to be in 1 Peter 1, could you read verse 23 also when we get to that point? All right. Thank you. So, Andrea, go ahead. Oh, Dawson's got it? All right, good deal. All right, thank you very much, Dawson. What Dawson said was, Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So point A in the second point is, Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the follow-up question that comes from that is what Nicodemus says in the next verse. He says, how can a man be born again, or born a second time? Does he go a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, no, you're not getting the point. The first time someone is born, they're born physically from their mother's womb. The second time they're born again by the Holy Spirit. And that happens when they place their faith, when they place their trust in Jesus. So until you're born again, Jesus says you can't see the kingdom of God. It's not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to just be a good person. You must be born again. And you're born again by taking your reliance on yourself and transferring that over to Jesus. I no longer trust in anything that I do for my eternal salvation. I trust in what Jesus has done. That is how you become born again. And until you do that, until you take your reliance off of yourself and place it on Jesus, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And the worst thing in the world would be for you to sit in church for 30, 40, 50, 60 years and never be born again because you've never taken your trust off of yourself and placed it on Jesus. Okay? It's not about going to church. It's not about doing good things. It's about, have you been born again? Lori, 1 Peter chapter 1.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. To a living hope. And then go ahead, Lori, and read verse 23, if you would.
Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God.
Okay, thank you. So, you're going to have to get a lot faster to keep up with him. So the idea here at the end of 1 Peter chapter 1 is once you are born again, you go from being perishable to being imperishable. Something happens. Something changes inside of you. And we'll get to that in just a couple minutes. But the third point on the outline is by the word of truth. By the word of truth. Can I get someone to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13? But you've already read.
I know.
Margaret, go ahead. And could you read verse 14 as well? 13 and 14. And then I need someone to... Well, Lori, are you still on 1 Peter chapter 1?
Yes, sir.
All right, since you're still there... This is not a democracy. I don't have to be consistent. If you're already on 1 Peter chapter 1, go ahead and read verses 23 through 25 after Margaret. All right, go ahead, Margaret.
In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory.
Amen. There's so much theology packed into those two verses right there. The idea that the moment that we've believed in Jesus, remember I said you cannot see the kingdom of God until you've placed your trust in Jesus. But that moment that you place your trust in Jesus, according to this verse, it says when you believed, you received the Holy Spirit as a down payment of your inheritance. A down payment. We know what a down payment is. Right? We make them on houses, we make them on cars, whatever. A down payment means that eventually you're going to own, you're going to have possession of that thing. Okay? So we've been given the Holy Spirit as a down payment of our inheritance. Okay? So we know that one day we're going to acquire that inheritance that we've been promised. Okay. Now, the point on the outline here, it says, the, quote, message of truth is the, and I put good news of salvation. The version that Margaret read said gospel, but the word gospel, we can get all mixed up about what the word gospel means, but it simply means good news. Okay? So, the message of truth is the good news of salvation, or the gospel of salvation. All right? And then, Lori, back to 1 Peter chapter 1.
Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
Okay, so... So your next point on the outline there is the living and abiding word of truth. The living and abiding word of truth. Now, point number four on your outline, this one is kind of a big deal. Okay. What James says here is that he says that we, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should be a kind of first fruits. A kind of first fruits. How many of you are familiar with that term, first fruits? Okay, well, you're about to be a little bit more familiar with it. So, in the Old Testament, God established several feasts for the nation of Israel. And one of those feasts was a springtime feast called the Feast of First Fruits. And what would happen is they would gather in their spring harvest. Okay, we have a fall harvest. We don't really have a spring harvest here in Michigan. We have more of a fall harvest. And I'm sure Albert and his family are preparing to bring in that fall harvest right now. But in Israel, they have two different seasons of harvest. They've got a spring harvest and they've got a fall harvest. Okay. Their climate would be a little bit more like Alabama compared to Michigan, okay? So so when they bring in that spring harvest, God asked them to do two things. Number one, he said, I want you to give me the first 10% of that harvest, okay? And that's called the first fruits of that harvest. But then, in addition to that, God said, I want you to have a celebration of this Feast of First Fruits. I want you to celebrate the fact that I have blessed and provided for you and your family. As a nation, you're going to get together and celebrate what I've done. And James carries over this idea into the New Testament and calls us a type of first fruits. But the Apostle Paul also uses that term first fruits in the book of 1 Corinthians. Does anybody remember what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians? You do? What does he say?
Ship in the boat tipped over because of a storm.
Oh, okay. Cool. I think that might be a little bit further, but yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you, Gracie. Could I get somebody to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 23? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 and 23. Jeff?
Now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming.
Okay, thank you. So Paul takes this idea of first fruits and applies it to Jesus. Okay? Jesus is the first fruits of those who rose from the dead. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Can I get some? Bob, you want to read that?
But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth.
All right, so Paul calls believers the first fruits in that passage there. Now, first fruits, we still actually celebrate as believers in Jesus, but we don't call it first fruits anymore, or at least American Christians don't call it first fruits anymore. Does anybody know what we call it?
Pentecost.
Not Pentecost. That's the next one. What's that?
Easter.
It's Easter. Yeah, it's Easter. It's the celebration of Jesus rising from the dead. Some of you may be familiar with Zola Levitt. He is a Messianic Jew. He's Jewish by race or ethnicity, but he's Christian by faith. Okay? Here's what he says about this Feast of First Fruits. Paul makes very clear the real point of the feast. The resurrection of the Lord himself is happy news indeed and worthy of celebration. But we are not to be surprised by it. After all, the Lord could raise the dead himself. He walked on water. He is God's son. The real miracle is that each of us ordinary mortal sinners will experience this resurrection. That's the real amazing thing about the Feast of First Fruits. That's the real amazing thing about James calling us believers first fruits. It's not that Jesus could rise from the dead, although that's amazing. Although that's the key point of our faith. That Jesus not only claimed to be Messiah, but that he rose from the dead to prove it. But even that is not the amazing thing in and of itself. The amazing thing is that each and every one of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ have that same opportunity to receive resurrection one day.
Amen.
And Paul has said it's already been Christ first, and then he says it'll be those who are alive, right? Or does it say dead first and then alive? Either way, those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, we have that promise that one day we're going to be resurrected as well. That's the real special thing about the idea of first fruits. Now, the last point on the outline here, Point number five is of his creation. Of his creation. And can I get somebody to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Mike, go ahead. And then I know I already had somebody read from Romans chapter 8, but I need Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 25. And then we'll be finished for today after that. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 25. Jacob, did you have your hand up a minute ago? Would you be willing to? Okay. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 25. Mike, go ahead with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come.
The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. So, point A is, you are a new creature or new creation in Christ. If you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. It's as though you were a caterpillar and you went into your cocoon and you emerged a butterfly. That's the idea. It's a transition from one state to another. Okay? So that's the idea. You were this way, but since you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're now this way. Okay? All right, Jacob, do you have... Okay. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. So there's a couple different key terms that he just mentioned. And if you didn't hear him, I'm sorry. But in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 25, Paul's talking about the entirety of creation, everything that God created. And he says it's all groaning, waiting in anticipation for the day where God is going to fulfill his promise. Paul calls it the day that the sons of God will be revealed. The day that the sons of God will be revealed. Okay, so we've got several different elements there. He talked about the first fruits of the Spirit, right? And we talked about Ephesians chapter 1 that says, when you believed, you received as a down payment the Holy Spirit, right? And so he talks about the first fruits of creation and waiting in anticipation and creation groaning for that day. Now, when you watch the news, do you ever see anything about creation groaning? Now, they don't word it that way, do they? But when you look at how earthquakes around the world have increased, how hurricanes are just devastating areas of the world, how wildfires spread like crazy, right? It's like creation is trying to tell us something. It's like creation is trying to tell us that this world was never meant to be permanent. That one day, the sons of God are going to be revealed. And not just the sons of God, but of course the daughters of God as well. Everyone that's placed their trust in Jesus Christ, we know that we have a down payment of eternal life. One day we're going to receive it, and one day God is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. And in that new heaven and new earth, guess what? There's no more earthquakes, no more hurricanes, no more wildfires, but there's also no more pain, no more cancer surgery, no more broken ankles, no more tears. All those things have been wiped away in that new creation. And the current creation is crying out, saying, God is there. He's there. Yes. And inside of us, there's that Holy Spirit telling us that one day we're going to receive that redemption that he's promised us. So the very last point on the outline here, point B says creation groans for redemption, but then the bottom line here says because of God's own will, you were born again by the good news of Jesus to become, and then those blanks there are the best portion of his entire creation. Let me say that one more time. Because of God's will, you who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have received the down payment of your eternal life, you who know that one day you will be in the presence of God, who will live in the new heaven and new earth, you who have that faith, you, because of the good news of Jesus Christ, you are now the best portion of all of creation. We have in the book of Hebrews a line that says that man was created just a little bit lower than the angels. But you know what else the book of Hebrews says? It says that are not angels ministering spirits to serve those who will one day inherit creation? If you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know for sure that you have that eternal life, then you are a new creation. And you, no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how you feel physically, you are now the best part of everything that God has created. And that's what James tells these believers who've been scattered by persecution, who have given up everything in their lives. And that's why I couldn't cancel church this morning. That's why we needed to be here today. Because you need to know. You need to know that you are the best thing going. God has placed into you His Holy Spirit. And He's given you not only that promise and that blessing, but He's also given you that privilege to tell those that don't know. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for today, and I thank You that we can count it all joy, even when we come into church and there's no power. I thank You that You have placed Your Holy Spirit in us as a down payment of that eternal life. I thank You that You have made us new creatures, but I thank You that it's not because of our own will, but it's because of Your will and through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, that we might have that eternal life. And we know for sure that everyone who has placed their trust in Jesus, not relying on themselves anymore, but relying on Jesus for eternal life, one day we will be redeemed. And all of creation waits for that day to happen. Lord, we thank You that we are, in Your mind, the best thing going. But Lord, I pray specifically for each and every one of us that would not fill us with pride, that would not make us feel like we're better than anybody else, but it would help us to understand that we have not only a privilege, but a responsibility to go out into this world and tell others about You, Lord. Help us to embrace that through Your power and Your grace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.